Well, it's wonderful to be in the pulpit today, and we're glad to see all of you. And I do want to express just how amazing our church body has been in preparation for the 50th. There's so many people to that have served and spent time, hours and hours in preparation. We're so thankful for your service there and grateful for what you have been engaged in, what you've been doing these weeks. I did want to mention it's good to have Wes and Sarah here. I guess Sarah went out with the baby there, but many of you will remember Wes Condra and his wife he met here at Texas State. Wes was a coach, and he graduated from school here. How many years ago, Wes?
6 years
ago it's been. He went and's been coaching, and you were a coach at Cuero and El Campo for those 6 years, and they recently have moved up to the Dallas area and are attending Master's Seminary at my old former church there in Southlake, Countryside Bible Church. So I'm saying all of that because I want to direct your attention to Wes and Sarah and pray for them, as they'll have their challenges with managing seminary and work and baby and many things. So we want to remember to pray for Wes as he does his preparation for ministry there at Master's Seminary. And you'll remember them, I know. Well, if you'll open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, I want to look and just take a few moments to look at this chapter and a couple of principles here from this in regard to our Lord Jesus, because this is Communion Sunday. We do not have dinner on the grounds this particular Sunday because of what's taking place next week mostly, but we are gathered around the Lord's table this morning to remember, as the Lord commanded us, the covenant that was made and the shedding of His blood on the cross of Calvary for us as a people. The Apostle Paul is dealing with living the Christian life with the Philippians here in chapter 3. And I want to begin with verse 1 through verse 14, if we may. I'll read out loud, and if you'll follow along in the Word, that would be great. "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of false circumcision. For we are true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, those I've counted loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing or the excellent value or the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know Him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and let's meditate on these verses and on the message that the Apostle Paul had for the Philippians this morning from chapter 3. The context is that there are false teachers, those that are teaching from the law that these believers need to be circumcised, they need to do certain things within the old covenant in order to live the Christian life. And Paul is making it very clear to these Gentile believers that have been a part of the church that we are the true circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and glorify Christ Jesus. This is in verse 3. And put no confidence in the flesh. The Apostle Paul has discarded all of those pursuits in life that might be some basis or foundation for living the Christian life. And the point that I want to make to you this morning as we just think and meditate upon the Lord's table, the work that Christ did for us on the cross of Calvary, is that our pursuit, our calling, and what it means to press on for the mark of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, there is a foundation upon the justification, upon the gospel. And I would like to make the point that the gospel is essential for your sanctification. The gospel and your justification is the foundation from which your sanctification must flow. In other words, what Christ did on the cross of Calvary when he substitutionally atoned for your sin is the crucial element for, by faith, living under the accomplishment of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary for you. Your penalty has been paid in his justification, in having died for your sin, because the Scripture says that that the wages of our sin is death, and the penalty that was necessarily paid for our sin had to be Christ's substitution for you and for me. But the power over sin flows from that reality of the justification that is in Jesus Christ for our sin. And Paul puts and establishes that this pressing on is laying hold by faith of that reality which Christ has accomplished. And the point is this, that the gospel, the preaching of the gospel, the foundation of the gospel, the principle of your justification is the foundational principle, the basis from which spiritual growth must spring. When Jesus Christ taught in John chapter 15, that I am the vine and you are the branches, he taught this principle of abiding in him. And that intimate relationship, this knowing Christ that is spoken of here in these verses, is essential to laying hold of what it means to know the power of Christ. The power of Christ comes from the life that was given and displayed after the cross of Calvary when God raised him up from the dead. And his power over that death is the essential element. And that's why in Romans chapter 11, the Scripture says that if we trust in Christ who raised up Christ from the dead, that trust in His salvation. Whoops. Yeah, little bit of, those things look great, by the way. Don't they look awesome? Man, we'll have to get that thing back up there. So that's, the power of Christ's resurrection is the power that quickens our mortal bodies, according to Romans chapter 11. And so if you look at verse 7, just some points to be made from these verses. In 7, we have a pivotal verse here, because the preceding verses, there's things that Paul describes as not confidence in those things, not confidence in the flesh. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was of the tribe of Benjamin. He was a Pharisee. He kept the law. He did these things that these false teachers, he calls them false teachers here in verse 2. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the false circumcision. And here he's saying that what they're telling you to do, I was there. I came out of that to the new covenant, to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I put aside those things. According to verse 7, but whatever things were gained to me, those I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Okay? And that pivotal verse pivots out of those pursuits that were previously in Christ, in Paul's life. Those pursuits that he laid up and the thing that he put his hope, the thing that he valued. And Paul is saying here that I threw aside, I count those things that were former pursuits that they're telling you that you need in your life. I put them aside as refuse in order that I may know Christ. And he's going back to this principle that abiding in Christ is the essential thing for the Christian in order to bear much fruit, in order to move past justification and into sanctification, in order to move past that salvation is a free gift to the cost of discipleship, where we take up our cross and follow Christ. We do it by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. And so he pivots out of all of these pursuits, the things that you value in life. Again, the things that you value in life are the things, it's where you spend your time. It's where your thoughts are. It's where you spend your life. And he's saying, I put those former pursuits in life aside in order that I may lay hold of Christ Jesus. And in verse 8, he says, more than that, I count all things to be lost in view of the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There's an excellent knowledge of Jesus Christ, and it's an experiential knowledge. It's an intimate knowledge of the person. And that intimate knowledge of the person comes from God's Spirit through His Word. He's communicated Himself to us through His Word. And as we lay hold of that surpassing value or excellent knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. Now, when we come to the end of verse 8 and verse 9, there's two verbs there that basically express the essence of what Paul means to in living the Christian life, that I may gain Christ and be found in Him. What I would like to suggest to you this morning is that's where our thoughts, our attention need to be. That's where our value needs to be in seeking to gain Christ and to be found in Him, having a deeper knowledge and an intimate relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus. And so we're here to remember Him this morning and to think on these things and to recognize that the power of the gospel, the power of his resurrection, is realized in the Christian life when we put our focus and attention on this principle of pressing on or reaching forward or gaining and laying hold of that for which we were laid hold of in Christ Jesus and in the gospel. And that we were laid hold of was that we might be made conformable unto his death. And what does that mean but that like Christ, as we take up our cross and follow him, that there's a laying hold of that realization that it's death to self, that the life of Christ is made manifest in us. That's the principle. It's the principle of life out of death. It's the principle and the needed and essential thing for you to know the fullness and for you to, as Paul is saying here, to lay hold of that for which you were laid hold of for in the gospel of Jesus Christ. God laid hold of you for a specific plan and purpose. You're his workmanship in Christ Jesus. And to lay hold of that for which you are called. Think of this. This is our very significance. It's the very essence of who we are. It answers the big question. Because if you press on for the mark of the high calling of God that he has given to you, you're pressing on for the very thing that you were created for, but not only created for, but also redeemed for by God. He has called you, he's sanctified you, or set you aside and set you apart for that pursuit of that which is higher and nobler and a greater calling than what we muddle around here on planet Earth in. God has a plan for all things. And let's go back to verse 8 there at the end. It says, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that righteousness which comes from through faith in Christ. Now this in Christ principle, what does that tell us? When it's in Christ or in him, that is a key theological, truthful term about our position, who we are. We're not only raised up in Christ from the dead, we were baptized into his death, but we're raised up to walk in newness of life. But the scripture even says that we're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Our position in Christ, who we are in this new covenant that we look at and celebrate this morning in the gospel of Jesus Christ, this blessed new covenant is in him. It's what it means to abide in Christ and to know the fullness of Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Spirit of Jesus Christ entered into our life at regeneration. He gave us new desires and a new heart and a new love for righteousness and for the things of God. And those things we press on for the mark of God's high calling in Christ Jesus. To press on for this mark is a huge thing, but we do it by faith, by God's grace through faith, because God has supplied all things that pertain to life and godliness, and we find it by trusting in the power of Christ, in the power of his displayed resurrection, in his power over death, which was the debt of our sin, and in his power over the power of sin in our dead lives. Because in our flesh there's no confidence. And the reason there's no confidence is because it was necessary for us to die that the life of Christ might be made in us. His life is made in you. And it's made in you as you take up your cross and you follow after Christ Jesus. And that compassion that flowed through Jesus Christ to love you enough to die for the penalty for your sin and justify you before our Father in heaven, that life that he gave to you it includes the power to live the Christian life, the power to walk in an honorable way before God, the power to know the fullness of Christ Jesus and his power made manifest in our lives. And this is a wonderful thing that we celebrate this morning. Look at verse 9, and be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. There's a righteousness there that by faith we lay hold of it. There's a righteousness that is not ours, that is displayed by Christ, that through faith in the grace of God, we may know experientially the reality of it in our sanctification. That's what Paul is expressing here. Look at verse 10, that I may know Him. And this is that gnosis. It's that experiential knowledge, the reality of not simply knowing someone, like I know George Washington existed and I know Jesus existed, but knowing Him intimately and personally. And loving the Lord Jesus Christ, and knowing Him in the fullness of who He is, and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed unto His death. So our conformity to the death is in the expression of the power of His resurrection. You've been baptized into Christ's death. You have been identified with Him. You've been put to death on the cross of Calvary in Jesus Christ, and you've been raised up, the Scripture says, in order to walk in newness of life, that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. Think of that, the power that raised Him up from the grave. What Paul is saying here is that we can know Him, and that our mortal bodies can be quickened by that same power through God, through faith in the grace that God supplies in Jesus Christ. We have all that we need in the supply of God's grace in Jesus Christ. And look at verse 11, that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, I believe this is my interpretation of this verse. There's different interpretations as regard to what the resurrection of the dead means. Some believe that it means the rapture of the church. I believe that Paul is speaking here of that life out of death, that life that is made manifest in us in Christ Jesus, when we die to Christ, in order that the life of Christ is made manifest in us. And then he goes on, and the reason that I hold that view of this verse is in verse 12, not that I have already obtained it or already have become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of. This is a present tense personal experience. To lay hold, I may lay hold of it. It's subjunctive. It means that it might happen, it might not. It means that it's something that we may experience or we may not, but it's based on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's based upon the reality of that expression of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ being displayed through the life of the believer by God's grace through faith. And it's a wonderful thing that God has done, but it's the thing that He has called us for. It's the significance of who you are, is to know Christ in such a way that the life of Jesus Christ is expressed through you. You've been made conformable unto His death, and that means self-sacrificially you have given yourself not to be served, but to serve and to give your life as a ransom for many, to laying down self. The death of that flesh, not conform, being confident in the flesh, but putting it to death, is the expression and will be the expression of God's calling for you in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 12, not that I've already obtained it, but I've already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which I was laid hold of. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it now. So that tells me again that Paul is speaking of this resurrection power in Christ Jesus and the expression of that. I haven't laid hold of it, but I press on to lay hold of these things. Not that I've already been made perfect, but I do this one thing, forgetting those things which are behind. There's forgetting the sins of the past, the failures of the past, the accomplishments of the past, all of the things that we might take confidence in, and reaching forward to what lies before us in Christ Jesus. This is the goal. It's the purpose of what that God has for the believer. And the wonderful thing that He has done in Christ Jesus. So may God bless His Word to our lives, and may we know the fullness of and lay hold of that for which we've been laid hold of in Christ Jesus. By God's grace, through faith, we will complete the course, but that principle of ask and it shall be given to you, seek and you shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Paul expresses here, I press on for that mark, that goal of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And these are the things that we want to celebrate this morning as we come to the Lord's table. And if the men will come forward, I want to ask you this morning, we have open communion at Grace Bible Church. And we if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, we want for you to partake of the Lord's table as He commanded. You don't have to be a member here to celebrate the Lord's table. But we do request, if you're not a believer, that you just observe what's going on. And if you would like, ask someone to any questions that you may have. If you are a believer, we ask that you confess your sins. And we would take a moment now at this point in time to confess any known sins and come clean before the Lord's table, because Christ has made provision for your sin. And He says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.